And we're going to be in Daniel, the sixth chapter tonight. I'm going to say some things that I think will be helpful. I promise I'll say some things that will be helpful. I'm going to close with a prayer, and then we'll have our finish up on time. We'll make sure of that. There were two fellows went up in a hot air balloon, and one of these guys was real experienced at this thing, and the other guy was just a passenger, and got up in the West Texas air, you know, love this West Texas air. And the wind blew in and blew up and blew out, and hot air balloon got way off course. I mean, got way, way off course. And the man that was experienced got lost, totally lost. And after a while, the wind settled down and kind of hovered down over this ranch land, and probably 50, 60 feet above the ground. And they look around and they see this fellow leaning over on a fence. And kind of a fence post there, a barbed wire fence post. And the guy says, "Look, there's a farmer down there." And he says, "See what he can tell us where we're at." And so the man leans over and he says, "Hey, mister, where are we?" "You're in a hot air balloon." The other guy in the balloon says, "That's no farmer down there. That's a preacher." Now, what do you mean that's a preacher? How can you possibly know that's a preacher? He said, because what he said was totally accurate, but absolutely worthless. Well, we're going to share some things that won't be worthless tonight, I promise you, because we're going to get to the book, and we're going to read. I'm going to read in chapter 6 in a moment. Let me just paint a little bit of the setting. Three things I would suggest before we start. Number one, without a consistent prayer life, you will never be all that God called you to be, and you'll never be able to do all that God called you to do. Two, being devoted to prayer, like those in early church in Acts, will help you to stand upright and do right when others around you are doing wrong. And number three, prayer will help you stay focused on glorifying God despite the consequences. Okay, the story of Daniel in the lion's den is really a celebration of God, really. Daniel's God, which was the creator God, it certainly is a tribute to Daniel's faith and commitment to God. But Daniel would pray even though he was under the threat of being thrown in the lion's den. But Daniel would not be intimidated by the most powerful king of this earth at the time, of the great, powerful Babylonian Empire, the Median Persian Empire at that point, because Daniel knew God, not the king on this earth that sat on the throne on this earth, but he knew God was truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay, so before I read chapter 6, let me just remind you of something that you know. People are watching you. And people in Daniel's day were watching him. We live in a world of cameras. Cameras all around. Security cameras. People have cameras in their phone. People are watching. There's cameras in a lot of our intersections. I'm sure you've noticed. Now more than maybe ever before, we're being watched. Maybe even more than we realize. Where you go shop, there are cameras. People are watching us. Credit card companies are watching us. They're watching what we spend. They're trying to help keep our accounts safe. And by the way, it's probably wise for ourselves to kind of keep an eye on our credit card account. My wife does a good job of that. When we married, she was working in a big bank, happens to be a Chase now, but at the time it was very large. She worked in the wire transfer department. You know, she worked in that area where, you know, like one dot makes a difference, or, you know, not, they're not dots, but they're dots to me, but not to an accountant maybe. But those zeros mean something, and so she's really good at that, and so that's what she did when we married. And so she's, and I'm thankful, she watches our accounts. A few years ago, I went into, I drove into a gas station. I bought some gas. I used my credit card. Got a call about 2 hours later. Somebody tried to use your credit card at the gas station, and I canceled it because I figured it had gotten lost and somebody used it. And I says, I used it. I bought gas 2 hours ago. She says, well, you never buy gas with your credit card. I did today, but I won't tomorrow. But people are watching us, and people were watching Daniel. So I want you to understand that as we read. People were watching Daniel. Now, if you claim, and I know you do, and I know you are, a believer in Christ, a Christian, and people know you're a Christian, people are especially watching you. They are checking to see if you are what you say you are. Are you trying to be what you say you are? You know, Jesus had a lot to say about people that would claim to be a follower, but really their hearts were a million miles away. They were play acting. And the Bible word that Jesus would use in Matthew 23 many, many times, and will pop up in other places in the Gospels, is the word hypocrite. I have been in some cities where there were cameras on downtown, almost on every street corner. Plain sight. There would be a sign that would say, you are city officials who wanted you to see the sign. You are under surveillance. Okay? Now, they were there for a reason, trying to, I guess, derail some crime of the past or maybe in the future to discourage that. But they were a deterrent to obey the laws of the land, the surveillance. Well, King Darius the Mede became king after Nebuchadnezzar was slain. Nebuchadnezzar had a great view of Daniel. He had put Daniel to the highest, well, I would say the third highest in his kingdom. He had great respect for Daniel. And King Darius the Mede became king after Nebuchadnezzar was slain. That's the last verse of chapter 5 of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar not only liked Daniel, but it put him in that position. But King Darius liked Daniel as well. And Darius was king, and there's some deception that takes place and feeds the ego, and we'll see that in the reading. But King Darius is going to put up some signs. And those signs are going to say, you do it my way for 30 days, or you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And so he had his people watching. People were watching. The king will have his people watching and ready to punish anyone who disobeyed his orders. Now, what his orders are going to be is that no one can pray to any god but King Darius, for these days. And so people are watching. But Daniel hears that, but Daniel does not change his pattern of life, his commitment to God. He prays openly. He serves God openly. And by the way, sometimes when people know that we're a Christian, that we're a follower of God, some people don't like it. Have you noticed that? I mean, we're light. I mean, Jesus says, you know, he's the light of the world. I am the light of the world. But then when he leaves and he says, in Matthew chapter 5, he says, now you are the light of the world. So we are his lights. We are an extension of the light that we have because of our relationship with Christ. And if you've noticed, like when you turn on your porch light around your house at night, have you noticed that there's some bugs that kind of tend to gather around those lights? Well, light attracts bugs. Light can attract some bugs. And the bugs come, and the bugs' plan is to devour some other bugs. And so the lights come out, the bugs come, and so in a sense, light is a great thing. It's life, really. In him was life. He was the light of men. That's John 1. But he is also life, and light is life in many ways. But at any rate, the bugs come out of the darkness to light, and of course they will eventually retreat back into the darkness because that's where they live. They don't like light, but they will use light, and that's what some of these people will do that seek to persecute. Satan is working. Satan wants to disrupt your relationship with God. He wants to, if he can, destroy it. Remember, he's a thief. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And really, that he probably is not interested in a TV set. But he is interested in your relationship. He might could actually use a TV set in some cases, depending on what a person might choose to view. So, the king is going to have his people watching. Here's the contest. I'm going to read tonight from the English Standard Version. At verse 1, Daniel says, It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. Now, they're like governors. We would probably put them in the realm of governors or high officials in an administration. And over them three high officials, of whom David was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials, the satraps, came by an agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever, and all the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors are all agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can't be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. A number of lessons I'm trying to just mention for tonight out of this passage. The first lesson is, as you serve God openly in your life, other people will be watching. Hopefully, that doesn't change anything that we're going to do, whether people are watching or whether people are not watching. Hopefully, it doesn't change what we're going to do. Christian is going to be a real Christian, right? We're going to do the best we can to glorify God. We're going to rely on His strength to do what God says we can do, because we can't do it without His help, but we can do it with His help. And we know that we want to do right no matter who's watching on this earth, because we know God is watching. And God sees all, and we want to be pleasing to God. By the time these events take place here in chapter 6, Daniel's not a young man anymore. Daniel is up in age. He has done a fantastic job in the assignments that he's been given. He was the third in the kingdom as far as in leadership under Nebuchadnezzar. Now he is even trumped that. And there's some jealousy, I think, as we read through the text. I think we can see that these other Mede-Persians here, where here is Daniel in a foreign land, a Jew. They don't like the fact that he is going to be trumped in their position and be put into this higher position. And they don't like that, and I think there's some jealousy involved. Certainly we know, as Christians, that God sees all. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare for him whom we must give account. Daniel understood that. Daniel understood he was being watched. He knew the enemies were watching. In fact, Daniel in his position would probably know pretty quickly, probably much quicker than the populace, that this decree had gone into effect. But he didn't change his pattern. He was going to continue to do as he as always had done. And certainly the passage about the window being open was for our benefit to know that Daniel is going to do what he's done. He's not opening all of a sudden. This is just the way he lives his life. It's open before all. People knew that he served God. The king knew that he served God. And while Daniel could have closed the curtain or the blinds or whatever, he did not change the way he was living. Daniel had served God faithfully, wholeheartedly, and openly. In this new system of government Darius had set up, Daniel was going to be move up as one of the high government officials. Daniel 6, verse 4. These other officials that see what's coming and what Daniel has done and how Daniel has pleased the king, they try to find grounds for charges against Daniel. In his conduct of government affairs, the Bible says, but they were unable to do so. They found no corruption in him because he was trustworthy. Wow. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Trustworthy. Trustworthy. No corruption. And neither corrupt nor negligent. He was faithful. He was diligent. What a testimony. If the government unleashed all of its power in order to find some fault in our lives, would the results be the same? In Daniel's life, they could not find so much as parking his chariot in the wrong place. He was faithful to his God. And they knew that. And so they knew the best plan for trapping Daniel and tricking the king was to try to get something in place that would certainly cause Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. These men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. And so that's what they work on. Daniel openly worshiped God, and people knew it, and they knew it. So when they went, and they went as a group, and they see Daniel praying, they're not surprised, because this is what Daniel did. They knew that. And I think the open window is to help us see practice that was continuing in the life of Daniel. Daniel's commitment to God would not be compromised. Verse 11, they went as a group. They found Daniel praying. He is praying, no doubt, and trusting in his God to be with them in this situation. Darius realizes at some point here, according to the text, that he had been deceived by Daniel's enemies. Well, by the way, they were also enemies of God, or God's people. And he's sort of sorry about it, the king is. They kind of fed his ego, and he bought that hook, line, and sinker. But he's not going to change his decree that has been signed. And he does not have the biblical courage to do what is right. Verse 16, the king gave the order. They brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, this is really big. This is a big statement from an earthly king. that doesn't really have a relationship with God. The only thing he knows about God, Creator, is what he's seen in the life of Daniel. And what he's seen in the life of Daniel is pretty good. And so he says, the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Those words showed his respect for the kind of administrator that Daniel was. Amazing words of testimony from the lips of the king. Second point, everyone knew that Daniel, including the earthly king, was a man who served God faithfully, continually. Now, would you have done, this is just a thought question, would you have done what Daniel did and continued to pray because being thrown in the lion's den was a form of execution? Nobody survives, or nobody has survived up to this point, being thrown in the lion's den. From Daniel's commitment to walking with God, we can learn about living for God in an evil and difficult world. Righteous people are sometimes disliked. Frankly, sometimes they're hated. If we persevere, we continue to love, we continue to do right, some of those people that dislike, some of those people that even hate, might have the opportunity, by the grace of God, to one day becoming a Christian by our example of perseverance. But Jesus knew the heart, and certainly he would call people out. He would call people on one occasion in Matthew 12, looking in their hearts, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks." And so he talks about that. Third lesson, as we serve God openly, God is watching. Certainly people are watching, but God is watching. And throwing Daniel in the lion's den, that troubled the king. He liked Daniel. Daniel was valuable to him. And it bothered him so much, verse 18 says, he had trouble sleeping. His conscience would not let him rest because he knew that he had sentenced an innocent man to death. Early in the morning, this is Daniel 6, verse 20, the king ran to the lion's den and listened to the words. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted his God. It takes courage. It takes courage to stand up for God. But when you stand up, you will never stand alone. God was watching. God sent his angel. By the way, there are some people that don't believe in angels today. I don't understand everything, by no means, that angels do. I did a series here not long ago on angels. It reminds me of all the things I don't know that angels do, but there are some things that we can know they do. We do know they minister to those who will inherit salvation, according to the Hebrew writer, chapter 1, verse 14. But for those who don't believe in angels, I'd suggest they don't tell that to Gabriel or Michael, because they may not like that. But by saving Daniel from the lion's den, in this case, God declares Daniel was his man. In this case, proves in this case that he was innocent of any wrongdoing. The king's servants pulled Daniel out of the lion's den, and to their shock, the servants' shock and amazement, they found no wound on him, no scratches on him, Nothing at all happened to Daniel in the lion's den. So the king tries to wrong his rights. Verse 24, he has Daniel's enemies thrown in the lion's den. Now listen to this. Before they reach the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. It was a sure thing, execution-wise, to be thrown in the lion's den. After this happened and he got through those enemies of Daniel in there, he drafted up a new decree, a new law. And here we see proof again that God was watching over this entire situation. And the pagan king says this in verse 26, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, and his dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves, and he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And the pagan king is really describing Jesus Christ, God, Lord, Messiah, to a T, the King of Kings. It is my prayer tonight that we will have the heart of Daniel, a passionate heart for God. Satan is always working to quench our passion, our spiritual passion, that is. In a world of turmoil and surprise and trial, all our questions really come down ultimately to one. Do we have hearts ruled by a passion for God? We get one lifetime to figure it out. That is, figure out what really matters in life. As a non-Christian, I didn't know where life was. If you don't know Christ, you can't know where life is. But when I had opportunity to see life from even a distance and came to understand Jesus himself was life. You see, outside of Jesus, there's no life. There's existence out there. You might be breathing. A person might be breathing, but that's not life if they're outside of Jesus. Because life is only in Jesus. He's the life. And so what does a passionate heart look like? It will pursue eternal things. It will set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. A passionate heart will be faithful. A faithful steward of God's Word will desire to serve God wholeheartedly, will demonstrate self-control, a life that leads to purity and holiness. And I know this, a passionate heart for God will not wake up on Sunday morning and wonder if they're going to be at the assembly, if they're capable, physically capable of being in the assembly of the saints.